gotten enough attention in recent days. And so I went to the elders and I said, listen, I've got a great idea about a parade. And I said, the parade is about me. I need more attention. I'm not getting it like I need. And I'm a little frustrated about that. And so I want a parade. And I want it to be about me. And so this is what I get. No parade in my honor. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you think that if I went and asked for a parade, the elders would be wanting to give me a parade? Well, now, some of you are looking like, what is he talking about? And some of you may think that I actually did go to the elders. I did not. But what I want you to see is how ridiculous it would be if I went to the elders and said, hey, I'd like to have a parade, and it needs to be in my honor. But you know, there are some people that live life like that. And there are people that we don't really want to be around that much. If you really think that about me, that you think I would really like to have a parade in my own honor, you wouldn't want to have anything at all to do with me. Well, what I really want us to think about tonight is that's really what God is trying to help us see in His Word. And if you take a look at Philippians chapter 2, it is my opinion, and that's all that it is. I don't have any serious research. But Philippians chapter 2 is perhaps the greatest chapter in the Bible on helping us to learn humility. And I only want us to think about a few of those verses tonight. They're great studies. In those first four verses of chapter 2, it talks about us and how we ought to behave. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. But then it goes into, beginning in verse 5, have this mind in you. Which mind? That mind that he's just described. And he's going to say, because it was in Christ Jesus. And he begins to tell how the Lord emptied himself, gave up great riches, gave up unbelievable things that you and I could not even comprehend to come and live with you and me. No parade in his own honor, but giving up what was the greatest possible life you and I could conceive of. So, in thinking about no parades in your own honor, we're going to be thinking about God wanting us to be together. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to be one in Christ Jesus. A great opportunity for that, of course, is to study and think and then act in the way that God wants us to. But we live in a world that is not very unified. There are so many problems in our world. We are looking at all kinds of strife. We have terrorism. We have police difficulties. We have racial difficulties. We have religious difficulties. We have so many things going on in our world. But next Sunday night, we have a chance to come together as God's people in Chester County. All the churches in Chester County have been invited. As far as I know, they all are dismissing their Sunday evening worship to come together in what someone has tagged a celebration of unity. And I like that. I like that. And I hope you college students will spread the word to all of the other college students that will be back on campus next Sunday night, 5 o'clock in Lloyd Auditorium. On Facebook, there is a page, I think, I don't know exactly how to go to it, or I might tell you that, but I'm not proficient enough to tell you. But there is a schedule of the worship that's put on there. It's going to be streamed, and it can be a recording of it can be gotten if you would like, I think, either video or audio. But what a great opportunity for us as God's people to come together, to worship together, to express our faith in God as one body. Facing the world and the difficulties that are out there, and they're not just out there, they're in here as well. Facing all of those difficulties, as one body. And I hope you will come and celebrate with us the opportunity to show our love for God together, to show our love for each other together. I believe it will be a great opportunity for us to worship together. I hope you will consider that. But tonight I want us to study a little bit about unity. And as we think about that, I think our goal is unity, and this passage that we're going to look at tonight says that our goal is to be united, but it takes humility to be united. Because you see, if I demand my way, if I demand my own parade, if you will, and you demand your own parade, your parade's going to be going that way and mine's going to be going this way, and we are not going to be together. We need to be together. Well, why unity? Why do we want to even talk about unity? Look at this passage here in the book of Philippians in chapter 1 beginning. Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You see, why unity? Well, Paul says, we are citizens of God. Have you heard all the uproar about a professional football player not being willing to stand during the national anthem? And that protest has grown and grown, and there are people applauding that. And there are people so upset about that because they say, we are citizens of such a great nation. Here's a guy who's a millionaire because of the opportunities afforded to him in our great nation, and he is standing up in rebellion to the flag because some of his people are being mistreated. Does he have a right to be upset when people are mistreated? Of course he does. But what people are upset about is they are upset because he is disrespecting his citizenship in America, and that flag symbolizes that citizenship. We're a great country. How could you do what you are doing? Well, if you can understand those people who are upset about him not listening to the anthem the way that we demand him to, you might be able to think about how people felt about Roman citizenship. Paul is writing to a Roman colony, and to be a Roman citizen was unthinkably great. You remember and have heard over and over again how Paul appealed to Caesar when he was going to be tried by the Jews. They wouldn't have given him hardly any chance. And so he used his citizenship to appeal to Caesar. It was a very powerful thing. On one occasion, someone asked Paul about his citizenship. And he said he paid a great sum of money to be a Roman citizen. Paul said, I was born a Roman citizen. But it was a great blessing. But let me tell you, being a citizen of the United States of America, or being a citizen of Rome, or any other country you want to talk about, is nothing compared to being a citizen in God's kingdom. That's why God wants us to be unified in one body, which is his church, which is his kingdom. We need to be people who are willing to do that, and the only way that we're going to do that is to be willing to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And when we do, when we humble ourselves, when we live the way that we're supposed to, we will be living a life that is worthy of the good news about Jesus Christ. We're here tonight because of the good news. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's me. He died for sinners. That's me. What a great blessing it is that we have that great news now that I understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have eternal life. When I understand that, and when I understand that I have the opportunity to be buried with Christ, not just dunked underwater, but to be buried with Christ, because of the good news that he will wash away my sins. When I hear the good news that Jesus gave when he was near death, we're struggling with grief tonight in some families here in Henderson, Tennessee, here in this congregation. When I hear the great words of Jesus, when he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you, listen to the good news. If I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A chance to go live with God forever. Great news. But God requires a life worthy of the gospel, Paul says to the Philippians. Titus said it this way, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, but it teaches us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Good news? Absolutely. Responsibility? Absolutely. And we will only fulfill that responsibility and be unified in the kingdom of God if we're willing to humble ourselves. So the goal is just there. Well, what would be the behavior of God's citizen? We read just a few moments ago, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent from you, I may hear of your affairs. And here's what I want to hear. I want to hear that you stand fast. You stand firm. Don't let anybody move you from what the spirit that you ought to have in your heart, in your mind, in your life is that comes from God. With one mind, thinking in the same direction of humbling ourselves before God, serving God, Paul wanted to hear of that, whether he's with them or absent from them, and striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not just a faith, not just any faith, not just thinking Jesus is going to do all of these things because it sounds good, but what does the text teach us to trust in and believe in and stand firm in that one faith? And then, boy, we face lots of problems in our world. Lots of enemies, lots of pressure. But Paul wants to know that whether he's with them or not, that they are not in any way terrified by the adversaries that are out there in the world. That's proof to them of perdition. But to you, here's the good news, salvation, and that is from God. It's not about what Roy Sharp does. It's not about what you do. It's about what God does. And so the behavior is very clear that we are to be unified in this one body, in this kingdom. We're citizens of God's kingdom, and so we behave in these ways. Whether someone like the Apostle Paul is with us or not, we behave in this way. Beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1, he gives us a model for unity. And in the New King James Version and in other translations, this passage begins with the word if. If there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and mercy. And it sounds like Paul is saying, well, I wonder if there is any of that stuff. But when you look at this in a proper way, the word since would be better. Paul is saying, since we have consolation in Christ, has your life been filled with sin? Is it filled with sin today? Have you not been united with Christ in his kingdom? Have you ever been there? In Christ, you can have consolation. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, great blessings, good news. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We can share life. We can share the blessings that are to be found in Christ. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from only those sins that are really, really easy. Anybody would forgive. Is that what it says? Oh, it will forgive us of every dirty, rotten, low-down, no-good sin that anybody has ever committed. Is that consolation or what? God will take us. We sometimes sing, just as I am. And then we add, I come broken to be mended. What a great blessing. What consolation. What comfort we have in the love of God, in the love of Christ. Wow, there's great comfort in knowing that God loves you and me so much that he would give his son. It'd be hard for any of us to give up our children for the best person in the world in our judgment. But if you went to the dregs of the world, the most rotten person spiritually that you could think of, ever think of, that you could find in this world. You might think of some mass murderer, some rapist, or some terrorist. You might just think of some of the most horrible crimes that have ever been committed. That is who Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. That is the kind of love that we can take comfort in. If God can love the world as we see it out there, I'm so thankful for that, because that means he can love me. And we have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Sometimes I ask my class, do you know that you have a spirit that gives this body life, or do you just believe it? Can you know that? Well, we work on different ways of thinking about that, don't we? We can look at things in such a way that we can come to know by faith that we have a spirit. What an unbelievable blessing that is. I can share with the Spirit of God because I am a spiritual creature. I'm not just flesh and blood. I am not just someone that you could cut and blood comes forth. There's a part of me that God created and placed in me that will never die. And I can share life with the Spirit of God. I am so grateful for that. And there's affection. God really cares about us. He looks upon us with compassion, with hurt. When we hurt, God hurts. We are his creation. We are his children. And so there is affection and mercy. Here's the model for unity. The hard part is, that's what God wants me to be with you. Those are qualities and characteristics that God wants me to have for you. When you come to me with troubles and problems and sins, I need to be willing to love you and care for you and share life with you and extend affection and mercy to you. That's what God demands of me. And when I do, you will permit me to be a part of your life. That's what God wants from us, because that's what God shows to us, for us to be. It's a great model. You and I need to be thinking about it. But then in verse 2, he gives us some marks. How can I know? How can I know that I am unified, first of all, with God? Second of all, with God's people, in God's kingdom, in his church. How do I know? Well, we have to be like-minded. That is, our minds have to be set on the things that God would have us to have them set on. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You see, if we are like-minded in seeking the Scripture and what that means to us, God is going to bless our lives unthinkably. But when I'm out of step with the message of God, when I stop listening to the gospel message, when I become ashamed of the gospel message, I'm going to be out of step with God, first of all, but I'm going to be out of step with His people. The rest of the world might be in step with me, but if I am not listening to the gospel, which is God's power to save the souls of men, I am out of step with God. I don't care who else, where else, anybody is out of step with that message. We're not in step with God. And so may God help us to be like-minded when we see what God requires and what God wants. We need to have the same love. God so loved the world that He gave. We've got to have a giving love. Got to have a giving love. Our love must be shown. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4, and you read through those next few verses where Paul is telling us about love, that is so amazing. It's all about action. It's all about the work that we have to do in showing other people about love. And we need to be in the same kind of loving way that Jesus our Savior is, that God our Father is, being of one accord. That is, I can't play a musical instrument. So if several of you who can, and we have some good musicians in this room, if y'all were playing a song, and I said, hey, I've got a guitar at my house. Actually, Cora has a guitar at our house. I said, let me run home and get it. It's a nice one, man. It's a relatively expensive one. She got it as a gift, not for me. But she got it as a gift, and I said, let me go get that guitar. And I sit down, and y'all start playing, and then I start strumming. Do you think, since I know nothing about music in terms of playing a guitar, that I'm going to be in one accord with you? You think you'd notice that I wouldn't be exactly with you? It wouldn't take a genius, would it? God wants us to be in one accord in a great, wonderful way, of one mind. Can't have two heads. I can't be the head of the church. Can't have two heads. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. And so we want to be one mind with Christ. How about those marks? You got them in your life? It's what it takes for us to develop the kind of humility that God wants. Now, how do you put that stuff into practice? What is the means by which we develop unity through humility? I got to tell you, this list is not easy for me. It's just not easy for me. You may be sitting there thinking, boy, I got that down. I ought to be the most unified person around because that describes me. Well, I got to tell you, sometimes I struggle with that describing me. Because when you start thinking about let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, boy, I am around people all the time who say, listen, we need this person to do a gospel meeting. Here, Keith Parker is sitting here. He's doing a gospel meeting at Estes this week through Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And if I'm not careful, I might be one to say, well, you know what? I was out there for 24 years. I don't know why those people didn't invite me. What are they doing inviting Keith? Well, I'll tell you why they invited Keith, because he's a great preacher. It does a good job. You ought to go hear him if you have a chance. But you see, it'd be easy for me to think I should be doing that. I should be in this spot on the lectureship. I should be in this job at church. I should be asked to do these things. It's very hard sometimes for us to back off and let life come to us. We want to barge in And because of selfish ambition, we want that job, we want that role, we want that place. And we tear not only our lives up when we do that, we tear up the body of Christ when we do that. That's why God says, let nothing. You see, what if I'm just a little bit conceited? Somebody might say, well, boy, it takes a lot of self-confidence to do that. We're not talking self-confidence. We're talking about conceit. Let nothing, not any little thing, be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's hard for about everybody in this room in one way or another. But that's how we achieve unity through humility. And then secondly, Paul says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than himself. Whew. Boy, let me tell you this. Have you ever noticed that people go to the hospital and visit all the time? They go to the nursing home. They do Bible studies. They do counseling. They do, and you know, you could just go on and on and on with what people do and how much they do, and just look around and see somebody that they only know, all they know is they just come to worship. Now, who's the best? If you had a chance to say, who's the best, who would you say? You see, if you aren't careful, if that's you doing all those things, you're going to be thinking, man, I'm a whole lot better than that person. Look at what I do. And when you do, you're going to ruin the unity that you can have with about any group. But the saddest violation of that unity is in the body of Christ. When we have people that rise up without that humility or lowliness of mind, and cannot look at other people and think, wow, I need to be like them in some ways and see the good in them and that they might be better than you. And then look at this next one. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests. Please notice he's saying it's okay to look out for your own interests. It's not a bad thing. But in looking out for your own interest, you look around at other people who are less fortunate. You look at people who don't have what you have. They don't have the position to work from that you have. They don't have the blessings that you have. They may not have the emotional fortitude, the intellectual fortitude. They may not have a lot of things that you need to help them with and to look out for them. Take care of yourself, I believe Paul is saying. But as you do, you look out for the interests of other people. It's hard work. You want to be unified in Christ? I think we have a challenge, don't we? And so we move to do the kinds of things that God wants us to do. So tonight, the most significant thing that you and I can do is to be unified with Christ through His Word, to come into the body of Christ. Paul told the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Can't be unified with God outside of that process. It's an important step maybe somebody in this room needs to take. If you have gotten out of step, out of accord, out of the same mind, when you once were with Christ, you've been buried with Him, but now you need to renew. You need to learn to strike the same chord that God is striking with that heartstring and come back and be a part of Him. What a fantastic opportunity we have because of the good news in Christ. May we all be united in Christ and humble enough to stay there. And so this invitation is about an opportunity for any of you to make that step in the right relationship with God if you have a need. Please come. Let's stand and let's sing.
Every time I kneel to pray.